A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Preachers have told me that the Gospel of John is a hard one to preach from. It's full of rich theology and layers of abstract thinking and meaning and concepts. And as far as we know, by the time that the Gospel of John was written down, the early church had done much thinking and theologizing and pondering. The stories of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are easier to preach. So, as I sat on the back porch pondering this passage about Philip and "Show us the Father," and Jesus saying, "Philip, don't you understand?" I felt some sympathy for Philip. He really didn't get it. But I sort of don't get it totally either. Philip is found in this book of John in several places, and he always seems to have a muddled, "Huh?" So as the sun beat down, I wondered, what happened so many years before this gospel was written? What happened between Philip and Jesus that kept it in the community's memory? What happened that was later written into the farewell discourses in this 14th chapter of John? What happened? Walk back with me to the time before the apostles knew the answers. Back to the time before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Back to the days before the resurrection. Back to those joyous and rich days when Jesus and his disciples walked the roads to Jerusalem. Perhaps on this early morning, the fog was beginning to lift. The sun was growing blazingly hot. Jesus had just come from one of his all-nighters at prayer. Last night, as they were going to sleep, Philip noticed that he looked exhausted. This morning, his face is glowing. Yet he hasn't slept. Energy comes out of him, and Jesus begins to speak, as he does so often, of the Father. And Philip is a watcher. He's already told Nathanael to come and see. Philip is an observer. So today he observes. This Father that Jesus always talks about, this Father seems like a really appealing character. Who is this Father, anyway? Perhaps he wonders, how do I meet him? How do I get what Jesus has got? That peace, that strength, that power that comes when he prays. And so he says, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." What was the look on Jesus' face that they all remembered it for so many more years? How long was the pause before Jesus said anything? The sun beat down upon them on the road, and there he was, standing there, loving them. And he could see that Philip didn't see. Seeing is a sign of faith in the fourth gospel, and Jesus sees that Philip doesn't see. As I thought about this story, the sun beat down on my face on this first warm weekend of spring. My mind went back to a day just like this one, a Palm Sunday when I taught seventh graders in religious education class. When I arrived at the door of the school to teach my class, that group of 12-year-olds stood waiting for me outside. The door was locked. We waited. Nobody came. The doors of the school stayed locked. Their parents had dropped them off and were gone, so what was I to do for the next hour and a half? "Let's go to the park," I said. So we walked 2 blocks to Durling Park, and the wind was cool. And so we sat on the east side of the pavilion against the stone wall, and I began my lesson about death and resurrection. In front of me, sitting to my right, was a girl I'll call Molly. Molly had contracted MS at the age of 5, and now at 12, she was almost blind. In class, if she held a paper an inch from her face, she could see it as a blur. But here, sitting against the stone wall in the brilliant sunshine, she saw light. And as I described the beauty of heaven, her face grew radiant with joy. For she was not expected to live to be 20. So for her, resurrection was real. Heaven was a concrete hope. And from the look on her face, I could see that Molly could see. Jesus was there, loving her. And she felt it, and she knew it. One thing Molly had never seen were the silent looks of judgment that seventh graders pass under the radar to each other. Teenagers worry about not being accepted, about not being loved, about not being good enough, even when they try so hard to pretend that they don't. Molly had a delightful innocence on her face. I had never recognized how much fear and pain and self-consciousness could be on a 12-year-old's face until I saw that one face who did not have that tension. Jesus was there loving the others also, and they didn't see it. Jesus was there loving me, and after seeing Molly's face in the sunshine, I saw that I didn't totally get it either. I don't know what has happened to Molly. I do know that she has made it into her 20s. I don't know what happened to her faith. I don't know if she remembers that day in the sun, Palm Sunday, of 7th grade. I do know that I am still searching for the innocence of belief that I saw on that day. Adults may also worry about not being accepted, about not being loved, about not being good enough, even when we try so hard to pretend that we don't. We don't always recognize the fear and pain and frustration and griefs of life that tense our faces until we look into that face who does not have it. For Jesus is standing here, looking at us and loving us. Beneath the layers of abstract thought, and original to the theologizing and pondering, is this experience of Jesus standing here, loving us. Perhaps on this early morning, the fog of our earthly cares can begin to lift as we pray together. Jesus, you have made the unapproachable one, the God of Moses' fiery mountain, the great I am. You have made the God of the universe approachable. And so with Philip we pray, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Hear us, even though we don't totally know what we are asking. And as you stand here loving us, help us to see. For all the ends of the earth have seen your saving power. Help us to see it too. And lead us to the sunshine of your glorious love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.